take just a minute, again, introduce to you. In just a minute, we'll do that. But right now, we're going to have... Did you want to say anything about the... Okay. He's going to... Brother Dan and I went to school together 16 years ago. And 15, he says, okay. It was really about a gajillion years ago. And played on the same soccer team, if you can believe that. And just had a great time. And I've watched Dan grow and mature in the Lord and become just a great testimony for Christ and a great missionary in Papua New Guinea. Many churches planted, and we met some of his converts when we were over there, and people that just love him to death, he and his wife. And he has a daughter that he adopted from Papua New Guinea named Selena, and she's not with you guys today, okay? And so I think she's in college, and just a great blessing to see the Lord using Brother Dan. And so this morning, he's going to come up and just say just a quick word about the Bible program, about the Bible, Bibles for Papua New Guinea, and then we're going to show the presentation. Then he's going to come back, and he's going to teach Sunday school. Okay, so if you've got your Bibles ready, we'll dim the lights if we can, guys, and get the video. Come on up, Brother Dan.
Thank you, preacher. Thank you, thank you. Okay, my mic's on, so I don't have to get up there. What you're going to see is a video, and of course, Brother Jeremy was with us for a long, long time ago. But this Bible project was got in our hearts, my wife and I's heart, about 12, 13 years ago. And we've been pushing this. And I was told with, you know, BIMI and everyone, well, if the Lord opens the doors, if the Lord opens the doors. And we that's too much, you know, 250,000 Bibles. And they have to ask us to come. And we won't do that because, you know. Well, you know, we've been praying. And I go back and forth a lot. And this last year, keep in mind, you're going to see a man in the video with his hands like this talking across the table. Well, his wife, my wife, led to the Lord. And she taught at our Christian school when Jeremy was there. In fact, she cooked for Jeremy one of his first meals. Well, she married this man, have four children. And he is the head secretary for the Secretary of Education, like for the United States of America, but for Papua New Guinea. And Papua New Guinea is looking for the Lord. In fact, they just bought a Gutenberg Bible a year ago. God is moving. She kept talking to her husband. Her husband talked, said, if that guy named DeLong can get Bibles here, we'll write a letter, and they invited us. So I thought about 250,000 Bibles would take care of, you know, the Port Moresby area. But we got in a meeting with the State Department. They asked for 2.17 million Bibles for every kid in the public school system. And so God is good, is he not? So this is that open door, and I'm 63. you know, maybe it would have been about 40-some years ago. I knew him before I knew my wife. But anyway, I want you to see this, how God works. And you've supported us every step of the way, and this is part of your ministry. When you don't think your prayers are being answered, let me remind you this morning, they are. And God blesses in this. So I want you to see this. This is bigger than me, and it's what they asked for. And we're going to do this in three phases. And God's blessed in this fund so far. And we're starting printing, I think, January 1st on the first few containers. So you can go ahead and roll that. Greetings from the DeLongs, Dan, Sandy, and Selena, your missionaries to BIMI and Papua New Guinea. I serve as Director of Deputation and Candidate Schools, and we are still very involved in our ministries in Papua New Guinea and Australia in church planting. God has blessed our ministry in a wonderful way. We've been at Papua New Guinea for over 20 years in church planting. God has blessed where He's opened the door for us. About 8 years ago, God put on my heart to get Bibles into the hands of the children of Papua New Guinea. After much prayer, God has opened the door for us. May I introduce to you the PNG Bible Project and how God has blessed our efforts and ministry in a wonderful way.
The Apostle Paul stated that a great door and effectual is opened unto me. Throughout its history, BIMI has prayed for open doors for the gospel. God has answered those prayers, opening countless doors for effectual ministry around the world. When we began praying for the Open Door Project, little did we know how God was going to work as only He can in Southeast Asia. Now the door has swung wide open. We need to act.
In 2013, God opened the door to distribute Bibles in every primary and secondary school in the island nation of Fiji. Over 200,000 young people received a copy of God's Word. Most of those Bibles were given during school assemblies in which the gospel was clearly presented. One headmaster told his students, "Young people, they have given you the best gift in the world." Another told his students of his school, "This is a holy book, and you need to read it. Open your mind and see what God has for you." Only God ultimately knows the spiritual and practical impact these Bibles will have on the lives of these students and their families. Now God has marvelously opened the door for a major Bible initiative in Papua New Guinea. This initiative was created by the national leaders who declared, "Please help us put God and the Bible in our schools."
And this is something that's going to change their life. We're trying to give them the living Word of God so they can have the Word of God in their hands and read from there for themselves, and the power of God changing their lives.
In May 2016, a BIMI team traveled to PNG at the invitation of national Christian leaders to meet with the Minister of Education and the leadership of the entire national school system. It appeared that God was once again opening a door of ministry. These government leaders had already learned that BIMI had provided Bibles for every student in all the schools in Fiji, and God had been working behind the scenes to prepare the way for this meeting. God had already placed a committed Christian in a key leadership role in the Department of Education, who was burdened to see God's Word distributed throughout the country. He stated that this is God's project, and God will ensure we all make this project a reality. God was also working in the hearts of other national leaders. The Speaker of the National Parliament had commissioned the acquisition of a first edition King James Bible and proclaimed that this Bible was now the official Bible of PNG. There was a special ceremony placing the Bible as a centerpiece in the House of Parliament.
Prime Minister, we need moral values more than anything else in this nation. And you will find that the Bible is the only source that contains those values more than any other faith document.
Yet another example of God's hand in preparing the way was the decision reached by the Department of Education regarding how to address moral and discipline problems in the schools. After long hours of discussion, the conclusion was that they needed to get the Bible and Christian values firmly into the lives of all school students.
We sat in awe of God's grace as we met with the government and national Christian leaders. What an amazing open door to impact an entire country. The Ministry of Education begged us to distribute Bibles and to share in school assemblies why the Bible is such a special book. How could we not say yes? Now we must act on that yes. To place a Bible into the hands of over 2 million students will be a massive undertaking, but God is a God of miracles. BIMI national workers and missionaries are prepared to be Jesus' hands and feet on the ground in Papua New Guinea.
Carol and I have been serving in Papua New Guinea since 1988. We're really concerned about the young people of Papua New Guinea because so many of the population of the country are young people. And so this opportunity of putting Bibles in these high schools is a tremendous opportunity. We'll have an impact upon the country as a whole, open doors for us to get into these schools and preach the Word of God to these young people.
I have people come and ask me for Bible every week. And we are so limited on the number of Bibles that we have, I tell them they have to come to church in order to get a Bible. And then, even with that, we're constantly looking after them like it is a precious resource that we can't let go too many of them. We need Bibles, but these Bibles are going to make an impact in their lives.
Yes, we need the Bibles in Papua New Guinea, and especially in the schools.
The Bible Project now in Papua New Guinea will be a big help, especially to the young people and the next generation.
This Bible Project will be making a difference in the lives of these young people, especially with the plan of salvation at the beginning of the Bible. And it's just it was preached on Sunday, Making a Difference, and God really spoke to my heart that this Bible project can be used of the Lord to make a difference in the lives of these young people.
We have a dynamic vision to reach Papua New Guinea with the gospel. We pray and hope that you will likewise catch the vision. A door has opened which has the potential of directly reaching over 2 million young people. At only $3 per person, this will be an amazing investment in the lives of the people of Papua New Guinea. The amount of Bibles that we can give depends on the amount of money given to the project. How many people are you willing to reach with the gospel? The door is open. Together, let's go through it.
For more information about the PNG Bible Project, contact us here at BIMI. New Guinea, what kind of language do they speak? Okay. So, me hama maslam lukum you me bung one time, Herndon, Virginia, you me adam talk papa God. So that's the pidgin language, but the national language is English since 1975. So we don't need translators on this, and they want the King James Bible. I don't know if you saw that or not. And so we gave them Bibles. In fact, the head man of the country, we gave him a black one, but he wanted a red one for his wife. And so you pray for this. God's blessing. We just finished up there in meetings this last month. Over 1,000 independent Baptist pastors met in Lay for the national conference. And they're going to take care of getting the Bibles out. It's going to be almost $7 million to raise on this side to produce the Bibles. That gets them to the dock. And Pastor Tao's family works at the dock, so there'll be no dock fees. The government said there'll be no tax fees, no VAT tax, and all the pastors in New Guinea are going to give the Bibles out, okay? We're going to work with them, but it's over $1 million. There's not roads like there is here, so you have to fly them in, float them in, or carry them in, and we're working on that with over 500 pastors, with missionaries across the board to get these things out. Every school in New Guinea has to give us a chapel for an hour, and then an hour to give the Bibles out per school. So, and all the pastors get the missionaries, and all the national pastors get to stuff the Bibles full of their church contacts, and that is New and Old Testament, and the plan of salvation's in there. So you pray that God sends some missionaries to New Guinea, because we've only got one there, and he's about like me. He's on this side of dirt, but he's getting older, so you don't know how long he's going to be there. So we're praying for some young bodies, all right? So any questions? Tried to answer those for you. Amen. That's good. So we got a clock in here anywhere?
No, sir.
All right. You buzzed me about 1 minute to go. Okay. I'll go right down. All right. That's good. Let's go in our Bibles this morning to the book of Mark chapter 14. And we praise the Lord. Brother, Susan's brother, your name is?
Scott.
Yeah, I got a good joke for you about hunting. Y'all want to hear one? Because he's a hunter. Y'all heard about the American and Russian and Czechoslovakian bear hunting? Have you heard this, bear hunting? They're bear hunting up in Canada. And so every day they went bear hunting for grizzlies, one had to stay back and guard the camp. Well, the American and Russian went out hunting the first day, and they drew straws, and the Czech had to stay back and guard the camp. And they went out all day with the dogs and the horse. They didn't get anything. Can't come back. Their camp was tore up. And it looked, and Amanda, the Czechoslovakian, was missing, and I mean, just tore up, blood everywhere, and they looked at the signs, looked like two bears were there, big tracks and small tracks, a male and a female. And they got the dogs after those bears, and they got those bears treed up in the same tree, and the Russian looked at the American and said, well, we got to get his remains back. Which one do you think ate him? Well, the American said, that's easy. Well, the Russian said, how do you know? Well, the check's always in the mail. That'll crawl up on you. You got to have a sense of humor to be a missionary. Amen? Because if you don't laugh at yourself, everyone else is. All right, let's go on to this. Let's go to Mark chapter 14, and let's take a thought this morning. Let's take God's word here. Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and Mary of Bethany had just anointed him, getting prepared for the burial. And I want you to understand, as a missions emphasis Sunday, everyone in here can do something. Everyone can. And Pastor, you're right. To me, Sunday school is the most important service of the week for me as a pastor or missionary, because that means the people's got the want to in them. Amen? You know, and now you can come to the preaching service and you got the want. That's good. But man, how many's ever showed up to eat and all you want is a piece of bread and you got steak sitting there and mashed potatoes and gravy and cheesecake. You got the whole meal, but you just want one little thing, what you want. I tell you, in Sunday school is a time of teaching and instruction. Sunday night's a time of encouragement and guidance. Sunday morning is salvation. So I want to give you some instruction, some encouragement today. God wants to use each and every one of us in here this morning. And let's take a look at verse 1 of chapter 4. It says here, 14, excuse me. It says here, and after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. And they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there was some that had indignation. You know, Judas and the bean counters, amen. They're about half mad, see. She didn't get her Texas Instrument calculator out or her smartphone out to calculate. God just put it on her heart to get Jesus ready for the crucifixion. And why was this waste of the ointment made? About a year's salary. And for it might have been sold for 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. That means these preacher boys are speaking out against her, getting after her. And I like what Jesus says in verse 6. Leave her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She hath come beforehand to anoint my body for the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that hath done, she hath done, shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. So everywhere the Gospels goes, we need to speak about her. And here's the thought. She did what she could. She had an I'm going to give you some O's this morning. And I want you to understand, when you think of Mary of Bethany, she's mentioned several times in Scripture, but 3 times she was at Christ's feet getting instruction in Luke chapter 11. 3 times she was at Jesus' feet for service. You'll find that in John chapter 12. And 3 times she was at Jesus' feet for comfort in Luke chapter 11 again. She was always around the Lord and she learned some things. She didn't have a Bible education. She probably wasn't in those times a highly looked at, respectable leader. But I tell you what, she knew Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And the Bible says she did what she could. And Jesus says, I want you to remember. I got a sermon called Remember Lot's Wife. Remember Mary of Bethany. Remember Mary, the mother of Jesus. You need to remember these people. But we're going to look at this one this morning and let her speak to us for a few moments. Number one, she was an ordinary person. Look at verse 3, what the Bible says. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, that's Christ, there came a woman having an alabaster box. Now, Mary was just an ordinary person. She had been around the Lord Jesus Christ. She knew him as her personal Savior. But she was involved. She had learned some instruction. She had sat at his feet and understood what it meant to be saved. And then she needed comfort when her family went through a real terrible situation. And he gave her comfort and he gave her instructions. But she had an opportunity to serve. And them preacher boys are sitting there, 12 of them. Kind of knuckleheaded. You know, girls are pretty smart in some ways, aren't they? Now, boys are so dumb till they're about 21, then the light comes on. Girls, you start flirting and manipulating when you're about 3 days out, okay? I've got my daughter, Pastor Pittman, she's not in college yet. She's a senior in high school, 17 going on 27. And boy, I'm telling you, the older you get, I see why God gives them to us while we're young. But I'll tell you what, when you look at Mary of Bethany, you see a heart that's just ordinary as your heart right here. But when she sat at the feet of Jesus And she understood what was going on even more than his preacher boys, the disciples. She did what she could. She didn't talk about it. She didn't pray about it. She didn't think about it. She knew he was going to the cross. She knew he was going to die for us. His blood had to be shed so our sins could be paid for. And she said, I'm going to start this whole thing going. And she anointed him for the burial, according to Scripture. So I want you to understand, she was an ordinary person. Number two, not only no ordinary, she was an observant person. Look at verse 8 with me. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint the body to the burying. A timely service. An unrealized service. You know, there were three types of disciples sitting in that room that morning, in that house of Simon. Those that were watching it happen. Those that had no idea just what was happening. And those that make it happen. And every one of them, Jesus did not let one of them off the hook. He said they all murmured against her. But she's the only one to observe. Mary knew what the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about. She knew about his upcoming impending death. Mary had a habit of worshiping. She had a habit of sitting at his feet. She had a habit of listening. She had a habit of applying. And can I give you an opportunity this morning to see this? In her observant, God spoke, an observation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he spoke to her heart, she reacted. Last night at the banquet, that was good food, by the way. Great food. And I went over to the dessert table, okay? And I had a choice between that brown thing. What was that called?
Cheesecake.
Well, I took the white one. I didn't want that brown one. And as I looked at that white one, I watched all these other men eating it. Man, you had three or four, preacher. I didn't want to say anything. I walked by his plate. And he had the white cake and the brown cake and his son's cake. He's eating his son's cake first. I didn't want to expose you here, but I just want to let you know. How many know he likes to eat, amen? It didn't take me long to observe that. But I walked by him, and he put that fork in that cheesecake, and he put it on his tongue, upside down and backwards. And he did only what Brandon Lawrence could do. I made my choice. I watched him. I watched that brother. He's over here. I sat with him, the guy that won the trip last night. And I got my cake, and he saw what I got, and he got what I got, and his son got what I got. Hey, y'all observe, don't you? Let me tell you something. You listen very carefully to this. If you're an ordinary person, and you have the observation that God's working on your heart, you'd better do what he puts on your heart. Amen? L-O-R-D spells what? Now watch this. Listen, obey, respond, and do what God puts on your heart. It ain't rocket science. Amen? It's right here. And that lady walked in there. She didn't calculate it. She broke that box. That was her inheritance. That was her 401k or J or B or D. Amen? And I'm telling you what, she poured that all out on Jesus. I want you to understand. She was observing what he said. She'd put into practice what God had put in her heart. Number three, Mary was oblivious. Now, I don't know if she had blonde hair or not. My wife was oblivious to some things, you know. Now, she's not oblivious to the credit card. I'll tell you that right up front, amen. She knows how that works. And I'm oblivious to some things, all right. But I want you to understand here. Look with me in verse 4 and 5. Look what the Bible says. And there were some that had indignation. And within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? She didn't think it was a waste, and I don't think she cared. Verse 5, for it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. Just think what we could have done with this for the ministry. We could have given to the poor. Now look at verse, and they murmured against her. You know, I don't think that bothered her about that much. She could care less what they thought. She only cared what God put in her heart to do and what Christ thought. Amen? How many know teenagers struggle with making decisions because they're afraid of what people might think? Am I right? How many's got teenagers in here? How many's got adult kids like me? And they're still in the same wheelhouse. They're afraid to make decisions because they're afraid of what people may think of them. Is that true? You know where they get that from? Us. And as a mature Christian, as you grow in the Lord and you let Christ instruct you and you sit at his feet like Mary, then he gives you this opportunity. He puts this in your heart and you're observing to do it. And people are going to say, well, you could have done this and you could have done that. What do you think people's going to think? You know what you need to be? Oblivious to what people think. And follow what God puts in your heart. That's what guides missionaries. That's what guides pastors. You know, that's that sweet spot. All right? And I'm telling you what, I just want to encourage you so much that understand that when God, don't wait till you have the heart attack to get this right. Don't wait. How many's ever tried to make deals with God? Huh? I did before I got right with God. I got saved my senior year in high school because I wanted to play football, you know, and I wanted to win. So every Friday night, oh, Lord, you bless me tonight with 25 tackles, 2 touchdowns. I'll never swear again. I'll never cuss again. I'll never steal. I'll never have a bad thought. Can you bless me? I remember doing those things. If you bless me, I'll be a good boy. How many's ever done that? That is so cheap as a Christian. But when you grow and mature, you say, here am I, Lord. Send me. No, wait. Here am I, Lord. Can you send Pastor Pittman? How about DeLong? Okay. How about Lawrence? Okay. Can you really bless and have them do it? Let me tell you something. You're not in this church by mistake. Or you're an ordinary person. And God wants you to observe. And he wants you to be oblivious to what man thinks. But be in tune of what he wants. Amen? Did God show him this self this week in this election? Amen? Cannot be explained. I'm telling you what. Me of little faith. But I think God's given us another door of opportunity. He's given us, watch this, the Christian freedoms. He's given us this direction. I don't know what's going to happen. But I think we as pastors and preachers and missionaries and churches better step up the plate and go through that door, amen. Can you imagine us doing a Bible project in the United States of America like we're doing in Papua New Guinea? They wouldn't let me within 100 miles of the shore, okay? They probably bombed the boats with the containers on it, okay? You can't do that in the United States of America, but you know what? Nothing's impossible with God. And he could open up this country again like he had 200 years ago, like he's opened up New Guinea now. When's the last time you've heard somebody say, hey, we want 2 million Bibles brought in? We're signing it. The government wants it. That can only be God. Amen? So I want you to observe that. And I want you to be oblivious of what people think. And here's the fourth O is this, and I'll go quickly. She was an obedient person. Look at verse 6. The Bible says this, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Now, she did a work on him. She was obedient. God wanted her to do it. And it was a good work. Look down at verse 6, down at verse 9. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, that's always going to be mentioned. Why? I want everybody to remember her. Because she did this. You know what? I'll never be 6 foot tall. Tell you the truth, I won't be 5'8". I'll never be known for the guy with the most hair in the room either. Neither will Pastor Pittman. All I want to be remembered as faithful. Faithful. Not only to God, but to my wife, my family, my direction, or whatever I do, I want to be faithful. And I want to encourage you people here this morning that she was obedient. And that's a memorial of her. The next O is this. And it's a good O. She was opportunistic. She took an opportunity. The door was open. The window was open. Look at verse with me. I don't want to scare you older people, but look at verse 8 with me. I want you to see this. She had done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body for the burying. We got how many people in here is over 60 years old? Raise your hand. 60-year-olds? Okay. I thought we was in our 50s. But our windows, any 70-year-olds? Okay. 80s? Young church, okay, we. You 80-year-old, your window's this big. 70-year-old, your window's this big. 60-year-old, you're this big. 50, 40. Do you understand? See the analogy? That's time. My brother-in-law, same age as I am, had a stroke Friday. He's at the Cleveland University Hospital in intensive care. Got a clot they cannot remove. He cannot touch it. It's up here. He'll be in a state of a coma the rest of his life. He's on a ventilator. Happened Friday. His window is closing. married to my sister, a good Christian man. I love him. I'll be going there probably on Tuesday. I want you to understand his window's closing. She had a window of opportunity here. And when that door opened up, when that window opened up, when the opportunity came, she took it. She did what she could. And lastly, number six, she went over and above what was expected of her. Give us some beans. Give us some lamb. Give us some chicken. Give us some bread. She was probably the cook. She'd done this before. Give me a drink. Do this. When she walked in, didn't say a word to the disciples in that culture. She just, like in New Guinea, the women have to stay back from the man culture. In New Guinea, Pastor Pittman knows this, the men sat here and the women sat here. We eat a meal, we go first. The older, bald-headed guys go first. And then the younger guys come second. Then the teenage boys come third, you know. And then the 12-year-old boys come fourth. And then the 8-year-old boys come fifth. And then that's it. Ladies don't get anything to eat. And now if there's anything left over, then they can come out. Okay, what a culture. Different than ours, okay. Mary's in this culture. It's an Eastern Palestinian type culture. And where they just serve. When she walked in and she took that opportunity, and when she put out everything she had, that's her inheritance, that's her future, that's her retirement, she just put it right there on top of him. Over and above. And you know what? That is what God blesses. Amen? So I want to encourage you this morning, as you see this with me, she was an ordinary person, observant person, oblivious, obedient, opportunistic, and she went over and above. You know, as you close your Bibles this morning, I want God to work on your heart as this mission's emphasis Sunday. And I want you to understand she took that opportunity and she was obedient. There's another Mary in my ministry, Mary of Cannes. She was a Filipino lady, a nice lady. How we got in contact with her, we had a cookout for the church, and we was running about 40 people that time. We had 80 people come to the cookout, you know. It was in a public place on purpose. We invited people from all around the park, hot dogs and hamburgers and cake and ice cream and all that stuff. And this lady came, and I never saw her, but we took pictures, and she's in one of the pictures. And I asked one of our other Filipino ladies, who's that lady? She says, I don't know. Her name was Mary. She just visited. She works with my husband at dry cleaners. Oh, good. Okay. So I went to the dry cleaner store the next week, and I got the picture. I said, you know this woman? They thought I was wanting to arrest her. They thought I was a cop. I said, no. I'm a pastor. And she come around the corner carrying a bunch of shirts. Oh, Pastor Dan, I enjoyed your hot dogs and hamburgers. Good. Hey, I want to invite you to church. And she said, well, I believe I'll come. And she came, and she was a saved person. But she'd been backslidden for 8 or 9 years, and she brought her husband. And over a six-month period, she got her heart right, and she wanted to serve the Lord. On the seventh month, she found out she had cancer. 3 months later, she was bedridden until the day she died. And the week before she died, I went to see her. And she said, Pastor Dan, what can I do? I can't do this. My health is bad. I should have been right with God 8, 9 years ago. I should have been serving God. I've got this want to in me now that I'm dying. And I don't have that long. What can I do? And I'd brought her 1,000 tracks, one of those stamp things. And I said, you stamp them till you run out of gas. And we get up, and that chemo makes you sick. And that doctor says you don't have long. You keep doing them. You keep doing them. And she began to cry. I'll never forget what she said. She said, I had so many opportunities before, but I just didn't do them. Now, what she wants us to remember about Mary, she had that one opportunity. She grabbed it, and she did it. And that's why we remember her. So when it comes to missions of this church, you're a missions church. You love missions. When God puts things on your heart, not only follow the pastor, not only follow the leadership, but follow what he puts in your hearts to do. Amen. And that's where that peace is. Pastor.
Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you this morning for the clear-cut challenge of Mary and her opportunistic life. Lord, I pray that you would touch our hearts, that we would do what we could, that it would be said by the Lord, as it was for, about Mary, they've done what they could. Lord, I thank you again for your precious word. In your name we pray. Amen.